you from the heart of Texas,
where he met his one and only true love. Proving that this guy really does know how to love well.
Because there's no way he won her over with his looks.
Therefore, he must be the relationship genius of our generation. Get ready for the best advice you will ever hear on how to keep your relationships thriving.
Welcome
to the Smalley Podcast with your host, Michael Smalley.
Honey, what are you going to rant about today? Can we get a little preview?
Did you hear that Kanye West, over the recent Valentine's Day, Kanye West, in a grand gesture of love for Kim Kardashian, so this is the model couple, Kanye West gave Kim Kardashian 1,000 roses for Valentine's Day. Huh. That is quite the gesture of love. Oh, wait a minute. Did you hear that Jason Derulo, the man of famed Jordan Sparks, on said same Valentine's Day, gave 10,000 roses to Jordan Sparks? Kanye, please. Only 1,000 roses? Really? I guess you're not the romance doctor that you fancy yourself. Today, you're going to find out a gesture of love that makes any amount of roses look pathetic, only on the Smalley Marriage Podcast, where we are still pushing the special offer of the Reignite online course that teaches the fundamental principles of our Reignite Intensive. It is just $39. You can go to smalleyinstitute.com, and the Reignite course will walk you through the exact skills that you need and that you can learn right there online that absolutely, absolutely will revolutionize your relationship. Well, today on the show, I have back with me in studio, Maurice Evans.
Thank you again for all the listeners out there who support Michael and Amy and I in our podcast and support the Smalley.cc and all of the great marriage education that is available on the site. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to bringing you guys a more lighthearted podcast today, Date Night.
I know. Well, here's the deal. You and I were talking that some of our podcasts lately have been a little bit heavy-handed.
Definitely.
That's not necessarily like us.
Well, there's a lot of current. We're trying to do current events and things that, you know, practical, everyday things that will apply to yours and our lives, and we've stated many times that, again, we aren't perfect and we don't have all the answers. So, you know, even in some of the podcasts we've recently done, I think they've been pretty therapeutic for ourselves and being able to, you know, they say iron sharpens iron. So, you know, we hope that this can be a safe haven where you know, you guys can't give us any feedback, of course, but you guys can listen to, you know, Michael and I really pour into you all and share our hearts. And today we wanted to do something a little more fun. We wanted to,
I think we really wanted to make fun of Kanye West.
Without a doubt. You know, the 1,000 roses.
Dude, seriously, process that for a second. Kanye's thinking, I am the bomb. And no, we all know he's a little narcissistic anyways. So he's thinking, I am the man. I did 1,000. What? 10,000? Oh. And who is Jason? I don't even know who that is. Jason Derulo, is he famous?
Well, when something like that happens and you tweet about it and you put it on Instagram, and I just have to say, is that about you?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that about your girl, your wife, your significant other? I'm just like, dude, like,
he deserved it.
Overkill, you know. I'm like, you know, there's so many other ways that you could have spent $2,000, $3,000, and for, you know, Jordan Sparks and Jason, you know, dude, 10,000 roses. She spent like all day handing
trying
roses
to give them
out
away
to people in the hotel because they weren't even in their room. So imagine trying to fit that in a hotel. So she's giving them to all the staff. She's now spending half the day at the children's hospitals. And I'm saying, like, dude, like, at what point you spend like $30,000?
You know, she walked in on 10,000 roses, and you know her first thought was, oh, Really? I'm telling you, that gesture did not go as planned. And it blew up in Kanye's face. It blew up in Jason's face. And that's what we kind of want to, you know, what that got me thinking about and got us thinking about is the importance of date nights. And, you know, we obviously, we always want to give you advice that's going to help your relationship be the best possible, okay? And I think and I fear, and actually I experience this with a lot of couples we work with in our Reignite Intensive program, is that they completely devalue and underestimate how important date nights are for their relationship. There was a big honking study done at the National Marriage Project, called the National Marriage Project, where they found, and this is so significant, they found that couples who managed to devote time specifically to one another at least once a week are markedly, significantly more likely to enjoy high quality, these are positive words, folks, high quality relationships and, wait for it, drama, drum roll, we don't have one, and lower divorce rates compared to couples who do not devote as much couple time to one another.
Simply put, I think that what that says is when couples, when individuals in relationships stop having something to look forward to, relationships die. A date night is something simple that anybody can do. It's a simple, again, investment into your relationship. And that's something that we're going to talk about when we get into our points for protecting date night.
Yeah, and you know, you made fun of me for my points. Do we need to process that a little bit? Because I try to be helpful with our show notes, and I thought having a numbered list of 4 points would keep us, you know, better focused. But you kind of poo-pooed that.
No, I mean, what I would say is that you just reminded me again of how men think that we have to write things down because most guys are very, very
practical.
They're not romantic like women think, and not creative. We don't know how to think out of the box. So when you say, women out there, I don't want anything for Valentine's Day, and you don't get anything because that's what he's hearing. And so just remember that most men, we are very practical,
logical, literal.
Yes, thinkers. So, you know, Michael, he shared something with me prior to the show. You want to share that about?
Well, I hope this is encouraging to people because my wife and I got over this a long time ago. And this is a traditional gender issue, and it's a very traditional conflict that couples get into. But we were kind of early on in our marriage, Amy would either try to leave hints, you know, drop hints with me that either she wants something or is unhappy about something or needs me to do something, but she wouldn't just come out and tell me, hey, would you mow the lawn today? Because I'm kind of getting frustrated that the grass is looking like the, you know, a jungle. Instead of doing that, she'd drop hints and make subtle suggestions. And of course, I'm an idiot. I don't pick up on this stuff. And I tried to explain to her that I am not analytical. That is not my strength. I don't pull information from one area and then assume and make genius observations to another area. Just tell me, because I feel like my role as husband is to be a servant, to be the biggest servant in the home. So just come out and tell me. We don't need to play games. And ladies, I'm telling you, it is funny, man. You think, well, he should know, right? We've been together. He should know. No. He shouldn't know, because guess what? To my knowledge, most people, especially men, don't have the ability to read minds.
No, we don't.
And just because we've been together for 20 years doesn't mean I'm any smarter than I was the day you met me.
Exactly. And I want to even, you know, there's some of those guys out there who make it difficult on all of the rest of us that, you know, especially the, you know, that they notice every little hair that's in place.
Oh, the haircut.
Like, oh, did you get to do something new to your hair today, babe? Oh, that looks so fabulous. I'm like, dang, man, like, you know, thanks.
We shave our heads.
Yeah, he's like the nails, you know. Oh, you, babe, you know, you're wearing, you know, that the new polish, and you got those extra sensitive metrosexual guys who are like, what perfume is that? That's a new Chanel 5. And you're like, dude, how did you sense that out?
Usually the only sniffing I hear in my relationship is my wife going, have you showered lately? That's what I get.
I used to consider myself a romantic, and you know, and everyone out there who knows, yes, I failed miserably in my marriage, and you know, I had money to boot.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I used to think that after my NBA games, you know, we would go together at Cheesecake Factory, P.F. Chang's, and all these nice restaurants with our 1 year old daughter at the time, and I'm thinking that, hey, you know, that this is like a date, right? You know,
you thought the nice restaurants were P.F. Chang's and Cheesecake Factory?
No, not those. Just
no, that's what you said. I'm trying to clarify.
First of all, those are actually nice restaurants, but I'm not. You know, we went to even nicer restaurants. Let me say Ruth Chris. We went to Morton's.
Morton's is acceptable.
You know, we frequented Fleming's and all these great restaurants.
Yeah, I like Fleming's.
But seriously, we went to a lot of nice restaurants. And I would think that, you know, because we went to our, you know, with our daughter and we went out, that was a date night. And because she couldn't talk, you know, I even thought it was even more of a date night, you know. But I didn't realize that, you know, she wanted the one-on-one time. She wanted us to be able to, just her and I get a babysitter. And we were in a new city, and I didn't trust a lot of people. We just first-time parents. And so I'm telling you, you know, you definitely have to, heighten your emotional awareness and really recognize the difference between a date and a family outing is something that a lot of guys
doesn't necessarily count.
It doesn't at all.
And actually, I'm going to give like a quick tip here that really the smartest thing men and women can do, okay, is if you want to be successful at date nights, right, then you really do need to have a conversation at home about what would a good date night look like for you. Because, hey, you know, there might be some people and some couples where it sort of does count if they're even out with the kids and they're okay with that from time to time and they're okay doing it this way and they're okay being in a group and they're okay doing it. You don't know is the reality. And the safest, smartest thing for you to do all the time is ask, hey, honey, you're important to me. You matter to me. I want to make date nights special and I want them to be meaningful. So, like, what would that look like? And then just take notes. It's not going to be complicated. She's not going to go, I want to go to Maui. I hate it when guys say that. Well, I don't want to ask because it's going to be stupid and stuff we can't afford. No, it's not. It's never that. Who's going to say? And I'm telling you, I get that all the time. Oh, she'll want to go on a vacation. Really? You go to her and say, what would be a fun date night? You really think she's going to go, yeah, $10,000 trip to Maui. That's not what she's going to say.
You know, it brings me to a great point.
Although that would be a good date night. Definitely, let's be honest.
Definitely. It brings a great point is that, you know, I read in one relationship book and then talked about, you know, women want to know that you care more about them than the problem that they're bringing. And trust me, guys, women can bring way bigger problems than a date night. Mm-hmm. And that brings us to our first point. No serious conversation on date night. You don't want to go to date night and talk about the kids and talk about what happened at work and all of the
Not happening.
Exactly. Or talk about, you know, what you need, you know, no women, none of the we need to talk because what a guy hears when you say that decoding is
I
did something wrong.
Yep.
You're a failure. Know, what now? And it puts you in a defensive standpoint. And now date night is ruined. And how many times, Michael, has that happened to you where you've gone, you know, you meant to be good, you know, something happens along the way before you leave the house or whatever, and it completely ruins date night.
Well, I mean, that even goes, these kind of first two, which you mocked me earlier on, but these first two sort of go together because you don't want to have serious conversations. But the second thing is don't get worked up about stupid stuff that happens on date night. So, and I'm telling you, Mo, I get this literally all the time where a husband, typically it tends to be the husband complaining about it. It's like, man, I don't want to go out with her because every time we go out, we have to talk. We have to have the talk, and it ruins my time because I feel criticized and picked on, and it's, you know, I'm going to avoid those things. And that I'm telling you, that's why you don't save date nights for serious. Have your serious conversations at home. Have them at the kitchen table, standing up, you know, by the kitchen bar, whatever. Not on your date nights. Protect those. But, you know, one time I I remember in Branson, and this is right kind of when we were still kind of young, married, and we're still trying to learn how to do all this thing. Literally, I blew a date night up. We were going out, ready to have fun, and on the way to the pizza place, we're going to do pizza and then a movie. That was one of the things that we really liked to do together. On the way there, my wife goes, "Did you remember your wallet?" Now, for those of you who know me, I tend to forget things. So I'm ADHD. It's not an excuse, but it's reality that, hey, actually, yesterday, you know, this actually really embarrasses me. Yesterday, for like the fifth time, I left my wallet on the shopping cart, grocery cart, in the parking lot. Seriously, I don't know why I haven't figured that part out yet. So I tend to lose my wallet and forget my wallet a lot. So on the way to the pizza place, Amy says, because she's thinking, I bet he forgot it. And so she goes, "Did you remember your wallet?" And I go, "Oh, I forgot it." Now, this is one of those perfect, stupid things that are going to happen on your date nights. You're going to say something stupid. You're going to forget your wallet. You're going to do something stupid. You're going to accidentally ignore her or ignore him or hurt his feelings or embarrass him or whatever. Something inevitably on some of your date nights is not going to go right. Okay, so there's this negative thing that happens. So unfortunately on this one, Amy says, "Did you remember your wallet?" Well, I'm instantly defensive. And I go, "Oh my gosh, are you really going to bring this up now?" No, I didn't. I'm the world's stupidest person. You know, I start to melt down because I'm upset that she would even bring it up. Now she gets upset because she thinks that I need him to remember his wallet in order for me to have a good date night. And the sad thing is both of us were way off base. Mo, we literally melted down to where I did a U-turn on the highway, did a U-turn, and didn't talk to her again for the rest of the evening. And it just sets the tone. And what we're encouraging you, on number two, is that you have to learn and understand that you can ignore and put aside the stupid things that happen on a date night. They don't have to be addressed right then. So if we like, you know, if I could go back in a time machine, what I would tell that very young version and in shape version of Michael and Amy, I would go, "Hey, Amy, don't even bring it up. You know, he probably doesn't have it, so it's not going to go anywhere big. If it's important to you enough that he brings his wallet, then bring that up later. Bring it up the next day. Hey, Mike, chill, dude." She's tried to tell you over and over again that it's important for you to have your wallet to be able to pay for things that makes her feel valued. Bro, figure out a way to remember your wallet. But heck, man, don't get all defensive and nasty and escalate with her because you forgot it again. Just take ownership, buddy, and say, "Hey, I forgot it. You know, what do you want me to do? How can I repair this right now? Do you want me to turn around and get it? Because I'm okay doing that because I know you've asked me." I would tell that version of me to be more humble, to be calm, and to relax, and to not take everything so offensively, and to just jump and turn around and shut down and refuse to talk to her for 4 weeks.
Yeah, I would tell that idiot. I mean, I would tell you to relax a little bit and just to realize that, again, you know, it says in Proverbs 11:27, "He who seeks good finds good will." It says he who sees good finds goodwill, but evil comes to him who searches for it. And I think that sometimes we forget that, you know, our spouses do. They're good-willed people. They're not setting out to hurt us. And even though in the moment someone misspeaks or makes a mistake, I mean, they're good-willed. And the person obviously is in a relationship with you, and you didn't go out and get dressed and excited for a date night only to argue on the way to the date night. To blow up at one another. Now you both end up miserable at home, avoiding each other. So, you know, I heard something really profound, and it's simple but profound, from a pastor friend of mine. And he said, you know, you don't date your wife to marry her. It says you marry her to date.
Ooh.
And I think that's something that a lot of us men don't get. And that simple statement said to a man will really say ding, 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 ding. It's a bell that goes off that reminds you that it's work in a relationship. And you wouldn't go to a meeting, or you wouldn't go out on the golf course and forget your golf shoes and forget to go warm up and you know, you wouldn't just go out there cold. You would go and prepare, and it's work, and you do it every time. You don't have an issue. So why do men think that marriages and relationships will function on autopilot? Why is that, Michael?
Well, you know, I think what happens is we get complacent. I think a lot of times a man's mentality, especially in their relationship with their wife, is that I sort of hunted you, I bagged you, I got you, so now I can move on to the next challenge, the next thing, or whatever. And you know I love you. I mean, that's why I married you, so I don't really have to address that again. And you're right, Mo, that is a major error, because the reality, man, I've never heard that. Do you know who the pastor is?
Pastor Mo Evans. No, I'm joking. Pastor Dr. Tony Evans.
Oh, it was that.
I knew it was the Evans. I knew it was the Evans.
You all the Evans. You must be related somehow. You're both so handsome and intelligent. But that is so true. You don't date your wife to marry her. You marry your wife to date her. Dang, why is he so smart?
Why is Dr. Tony Evans so smart? That is.
That's what I'm talking about. I think everyone assumed I was talking about Dr. Tony Evans.
No, I think that, you know, it really, for young men, once we step out of that quote unquote man box that we have, where we think, you know, a lot of times young men and even young women, we're taught by society how to view relationships. And most of the time, what happens when you go to a movie? You see the guy, he wines and dines her, he gets, you said it, the chase. And then once he gets the girl, it's happy ever after. The movie goes off, everyone goes home.
Now I'm on to the next thing.
Exactly. No one shows us what happens after you have the happy ever after, but what work goes into creating a happy ever after environment in your home.
Well, and that's today's show, is a date night. And I don't want you to poo-poo it, folks. I'm telling you right now, just think about it logically. If we never go out and enjoy each other and have fun, why would we stay together? That is how serious this is. If you allow yourself to get too busy, so you either work too much, spend too many hours at the office, allow your children to be into seven different things at the same time, and your family is constantly spread out every single week, and I hear this from couples. And by the way, those couples are in our intensive program because they're in crisis, because they're not getting along, because they're never enjoying each other. And what I tell them, and I'm telling you now on this show, is that if your life is too busy, change it. First of all, and Mo, we talked about this before the show, you're never as valuable and important, guys, as you think you are to your business. Never.
And I found that out the hard way. Mm-hmm. As I see guys who wear my number, or what used to be my number, mm-hmm. for former teams that I used to play for, and I say, wow, you know, I seen guys who, you know, I would go into an old locker room and one of the most humbling things you can see is basically someone sitting in your workspace before you've actually packed up all of your things.
That'll do it. That'll bring it down a few notches.
Without a doubt. And so, you know, dude, we're not, you know, we it even is in scripture. It says we ought not think more highly of ourselves, you know, and we shouldn't, you know. So realize that relationships, again, they don't function on autopilot, and there's work that has to go in. And you
But
know,
this is the fun work. That's yeah. what's so cool about date nights is this is the skill, a love skill, and date night is a complete skill, because I have to learn how to do it. I have to practice it, and I have to practice it. I can't just put it up on the shelf, and I can't just bench it and then wonder why it's not going well. Date nights matter. They are significant. If you are not enjoying each other, you're not enjoying each other. And where do you think that's going to lead? It leads to all sorts of stress and anxiety. And what we're trying to help you with on this show is you can protect date nights. You can protect it by keeping serious conversations away from the date night. You protect it by ignoring stupid things that happen. Look, put it aside. You're not a victim. Even though that was insensitive or thoughtless or forgetful, whatever it was, put it on the side. If it's a big enough deal, you can resolve that later when you get home. Choose to enjoy the date night in the present. You can do that. That's actually possible. We also want to challenge you on number three, is you want to be flexible and creative. And we want to really make sure you understand what we're saying on this one. We are not saying, because a huge mistake with date nights and why many times they don't happen for couples is, like Kanye West and like Jason Derulo, men think, and women alike, think, oh, we have to have this massive gesture. We have to have this huge creative idea. We have to go spend a lot of money on our date night. And that prevents couples from going on date night because they start saying, well, we can't afford babysitting. We can't afford dinner. We can't afford all this stuff. We don't blah, 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 blah. A date night doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be grand. All you have to make it a successful date night is a good time together. So, man, dude, I'll admit this on the show. I will admit that one of my favorite date nights with my wife right now, Downton Abbey.
Wow.
On PBS.
Wow. Well, I applaud you for
it. I'm disappointed in myself, too.
No, not at all. I mean, I think that's the thing that, you know, talking about.
Do you
about
watch
that,
Downton Abbey?
I don't. But, you know, giving you a little grace and a little, you know, giving you some props. I mean, I think that, again, step out of the man box, guys. And in the man box is, you know, what society, again, tells us what a relationship and what a man's role or a woman's role is supposed to be. And most of us, as men, we're taught not to cry. We're not supposed to be sensitive and romantic. You're not supposed to cook. That's her job. Don't fold clothes or help out with the laundry. Help get the kids ready. That's all baloney. And if you believe those things, you will be and find yourself in a situation where your spouse or your significant other is saying, I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, learning tools that we have here at the Smalley Institute are simply pulling up the weeds. So, and then you water the grass, and guess what? Roses will grow, and Kanye will come pick them.
Yeah.
You know? and then you can go on your date night. And I normally don't.
He'll raid your rose garden. Where do you get 1,000 roses anyways? Seriously.
I mean, and the thing is even with 1,000 roses, think about the sacrifice that you have to make there if you have millions of dollars. So is that really a sacrifice? If you can go open up your checkbook and it doesn't even phase your account, you know, I think one simple picked rose, you know, would have done the jest or going to go, you know, cook or, you know, giving you guys some examples. You know, one I don't like to quote other people's books on the show since Michael and Amy have their books out.
Yeah.
And, you know, things that we would like
okay.
you guys to visit.
You can quote other books.
But Gary Chapman, who everybody knows.
I'm a fan.
The Five
He's
Love
a good
Languages.
Guy.
I think most guys, and I was one of them, you know, before I read the book, I didn't know my wife's love language. It was embarrassing. I didn't know, you know, that there were five different love languages. Acts of service, quality time, physical touch, words of affirmation, and gifts of services. And physical touch doesn't mean sex. It means, again, a hug when you come into the room or a kiss, you know, when you enter or exit a room, you know, acts of service or, again, you know, likening when your spouse, you know, folds your clothes or, you know, fixes your plate or does something simple. And you have to, in turn, acknowledge them for those things, words of affirmation, speaking positive words to your spouse. And gifts don't have to be thousands of roses. It can be a note. It can be a flower. It can be, you know, again, something that, you know, will resonate with your spouse.
Hey, you said a note. I have to interrupt. You know, another thing Amy and I are doing right now to keep it fresh, keep it alive, keep it romantic. We have this little miniature because we got it at a couples retreat we led recently. But it's a little miniature mailbox with an actual working, you know, red flag thingy. And what we do is we keep that on either one of our nightstands and we'll write cute little love notes to each other. And then we raise the little mailbox flag. And so when we walk in, if the mailbox is on my side of the bed and the little flag's up, I know she's written me a cute little note. That's been fun. And guess what? That doesn't cost a lot of money. And that's really, folks, come on. When we say be creative, when we were first married living in Branson, Missouri, we even lived on the same property as my parents, right? So it was like 12 acres. It was on Lake Taneycomo. And my parents very quickly informed my wife and I that we love you. We love that you're here with the kids, but we're not really that kind of grandparent that's going to want to babysit a lot. So we were like, oh, really? Because that's not Amy's parents at all. But that's fine. They have the right to do that. But the reality is that it was really hard early on for us to find babysitting. So I get that. But listen, a date night is not defined by getting in the car and spending $150. And so what Amy and I started doing, when I say be creative, is that we would put the kids down early once a week. We'd get them down by 6:37, and we'd start that process earlier than we might normally so that we could get them down, and then we could have some time to go sit out on our back porch, or we could have some time to watch a fun movie together. And so sometimes, yeah, your date night might be at home. That's fine. The key is that you guys, and you said this, Mo, when we were prepping for the show, is that, and this is actually number four, is that you need to plan your date nights. And guess what, folks? Doing four date nights a month is really not that difficult. It's not too much to ask. It's not impossible. And especially when you realize we don't have to make it a grand gesture every time we try to go on a date night. It can be simple. It can be Downton Abbey. It can be listening to new music. It could be trying a new wine. It can be, there's so many different things that you could do, even if you can only do it at home, that is meaningful. And it's special time. It's quality time. And most importantly, it's fun time.
No, and I totally agree. I mean, I love the mailboxes that you guys have. I love the little things that you guys are doing. And I think what you said, something so key, is that so many men and couples out there, even women, get this twisted. They think that, you know, it has to be something so elaborate, and then they put that expectation on their spouse, and then it discourages him from wanting to partake of it, you know, four times a month.
Because it'll be a letdown.
Yeah, and he's saying, dude, I got to keep trying to recreate the wheel every time, and I got to, you know, man, I got to go spend $150. And you, now when you start counting your dollars and being a bean counter, it's like, dude, it takes away from the action. And date night is just supposed to be a simple gesture for you guys to be able to invest into one another and into the relationship. And that's exactly what date night is. It's a investment. And if you water it, it will grow, and the fruits of that relationship will be so awesome. I mean, while I had, you know, time away to kind of, you know, reflect upon, you know, my past relationship and things that I could have done better. And you know, one thing that as a man, I realized, and I said, I couldn't believe that intimacy has so many different components to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the five components that there are, there's spiritual intimacy, there's compatible intimacy, there's intellectual intimacy, there's emotional intimacy, and there's sexual intimacy. And if those things are out of balance, you know, you might be hitting the mark sexually, but if her number one is spiritually, and you don't go to church with her, and you know, if you don't, you know, ever, you know, have any meaningful conversations, or if she emotionally, she can't come to you and cry because you think she's a crybaby, or, you know, she can't, you know, vent, and you can't actively listen to her about her job. And, you know, dude, those are things that are going to affect your date night. And if you don't know those love languages, and you think it's, if her language is quality time, and every time, you know, you talk to her, you're paying attention, watching the game, and you're trying to listen to, you know, her story about work, dude, you're going to be missing the mark. So educate yourselves so that you can, you know, again, be more effective, and you can, trust me, you will get so much more, such a better response from your spouse. I told this story earlier to Michael about, you know, I was at church, and I go to Second Baptist, and Dr. Young told the story of, you know, about 10, 15 years ago, he said that he issued a challenge to the congregation to invest in something that your spouse likes to do. And he challenged both spouses to do it. And one lady wrote him a letter, and he read this letter at church on Sunday. And it spoke about a woman who was thanking Dr. Young for issuing that challenge, because she and her husband, she went home and told her husband, she said, you know, honey, I want to go hunting with you. And first she got a blank stare from her husband, and he's looking at her like, is this a joke or is this a trick? Are you trying to see if I'm going to go hunting, or did I forget, you know, our anniversary or something, you know? And so, you know, once he acknowledges and says, you know what, babe, you know, that's okay. You're serious, right? And she said, yeah. And so they went to the hunting store, where he proceeded to purchase $1,000 worth of hunting equipment, everything. And so now he's lavishing her with, guess what, gifts, all because she invested and wanted to do something that he wanted to do. And then she goes on in the letter to say, guess what, now we're going all over the world on these elaborate hunting trips, and I'm spending hours and hours with my husband. We're setting up in trees, and we're, you know, we're waiting for deer to come by, and you know, I mean, I think it's so the point of the story is that when you invest in the things that your spouse wants to do, you get more of their heart. You know, I heard a saying that said, you know, if you catch a man's eye, you get a meal. But if you capture his heart, you get his world. Mm-hmm. And that is so huge. And to finish out that last story, they now have their own show.
Television show.
And she now owns the record in Texas for having killed at the longest distance a deer.
With a bow.
And now how cool is that for just simply having made an investment into her husband?
And doing something that she originally didn't think she would ever want to do, but entering into her husband's life. Definitely. And husbands, you can do that, which is why on a weekly basis I watch Downton Abbey. No, I actually do love Downton. I'm not going to diss Downton. I get really into that storyline. You got to try it. I'm telling you, Mo, it would grow you. You would be a better man.
I'll be the first to tell you, any growth I can make, I'm there. So if I need to come over here and any growth you can make, you will take. I'm there. You know, I mean,
did I rhyme that kind of like Kanye Westwood?
Yeah, I thought that. one more quick statement. I would say I'm trying to be serious. I'm trying to educate our listeners. You know, I think that hopefully this will benefit some of them out there. But one of the things I was going to say that I learned too in the marriage education is that per withdrawal, mm-hmm. it takes 20 deposits per one withdrawal. And one withdrawal could be something as simple as a misplaced word, an argument.
Critical statement.
Yeah, critical statement, something, you know, demeaning, or, you know, you didn't notice something, you a poor reaction. And so now you have 20 deposits, and deposits can be something as simple as a hug, a kiss upon entering the room, or a compliment, a well-placed, you know, words of affirmation. And, you know, again, you know, fixing our plate or cleaning up the table or making the bed, little things. But it takes 20 deposits per one withdrawal. And I thought that that was something that was key that most men probably never think of.
Which, again, brings it right back to the critical importance of date nights. Because a date night is a deposit, and it's a good deposit. It can be a consistent deposit. It doesn't have to be a grand gesture, 1,000 or 10,000 roses, because you'll always be out gestured by somebody. Don't worry about the gesture. The point of the date night is to get out together and have fun, which, you know, I'll do a little shameless plug. Amy and I and have a Comedy of Love date night. So I actually do comedy, and you can come and either hear about my love story is one show, and I even have an entire hour show on all my near-death experiences. So we call that the Comedy of Love, because love, if you don't laugh, you're going to be killing people. So we do the Comedy of Love date night, but then I also have in May, we're going to be in Phoenix and kind of doing the first ever date night for a Major League Baseball team. The Arizona Diamondbacks are actually promoting a citywide date night that we're going to do at their spring training facility, which is a beautiful stadium there in Phoenix. And our goal is 3,000 to 5,000 couples or people. So 1,500 to 2,000 couples to show up and have an incredible night of fun. So I'll do some teaching and inspirational comedy. We're going to have one of the folks from the Duck Dynasty. We're going to have really good musical entertainment. And then Maurice and I we're leaving very soon, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're leaving very soon.
March 3rd, for all you prayer warriors out there, you know, keep us in prayer and lift us up as we make the same pitch to the NBA. And why that's so significant, because the NBA, like most other sports, has a 90% divorce rate. And we really want to sow into, you know, my brothers back in the NBA who are, you know, just unaware of the education. They can't see themselves, and they're drowning right now in drowning in success, if that's even possible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's women out there who are their significant others, who are their wives, that are really suffering. And you know, I was one of those guys who just didn't quite get it. So, you know, we really want to teach them how to prioritize their marriages and their relationships and kind of educate them in a fun, loving way. So,
but then also offer that to the entire communities of these teams and in major cities across the country, because I'm telling you, man, the thing that's going to start making a dent in the divorce rate in America, I promise you, is going to be these kinds of date nights where couples can get out, they can have a fun evening of awesome music and entertainment, and then learn a little bit. You don't have to learn a lot. You just usually, frankly, to really change your situation, you really just need to change one thing. And that's what we're going to focus, and what I tend to focus on our date nights already, is just giving you one little bit of advice and surrounding that with a really fun evening, and you kind of kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, and the one thing can be as simple as changing you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you change you instead of trying to change your spouse, or you know, trying to be the potter, you know, like if you just change yourself, change your perspective, then that in itself forces change.
It does. So as always, the Smalley Marriage Podcast is brought to you by the Smalley Institute. If your relationship is on life support, reignite your marriage in just 2 days. Call us right now at 800-975-8748, or you can visit us online at SmalleyInstitute.com. Well, we've reached that point, folks. There's just really one thing left to say.
And now, it is time to say goodbye.